All right, guys, welcome to another Sporting Debate podcast. It's a beautiful Wednesday out here on the East Coast. I got my man Jesus out there.
Let's get it. I got Steve over here. He's falling asleep on me, but it's all right.
I'm going
to beat him anyway.
I ain't sleeping today.
Hey, we're ready for another lively debate, man. I've been putting off this partition, but I got to put a partition between you guys, man, because... each week it gets more and more heated. I'm just waiting for someone to cross that line and jump over the fence there.
Eventually it's gonna get there. We're gonna fight eventually.
but as always, we're gonna go ahead and pay some bills. Jesus, you and I have had some heated discussions, yeah, and I think it's come to its climax with this book. Tell them about this book, man.
Jeff Delarosa's Keeping It Real Always. It's controversial, it's offensive, and let me tell you something. There's always something you'll disagree with him on, and if you go ahead and you talk about it with someone else, that other person may disagree with you. That's the beauty of this book. It gives you so many different topics, so many different things to debate. That's why we promote the book, because it's all about debate. Keeping It Real Always on Amazon.com. Get the hardcover.
Absolutely, absolutely. And something else to add to your library collection is My Family Story by Loreen M. Alate. Listen, we all know everyone is struggling with the financial crisis. In turn, everyone is struggling to pay their mortgage, and the banks aren't really working with people. You may be experiencing that yourself. So Ms. Alate's account is something that every homeowner can relate to. Even if you're a future homeowner, a prospective homeowner, please... read the book and you can actually take some things out before you even go to your closing. So it's available at Amazon.com, Kindle, hardcover. Go check it out. And, Steve, in case you guys don't know, Steve is the resident fashion guy here at Sport and Debate. He always comes in wearing this fresh stuff, but he's going to switch it up a little bit. He's going to tell us something for our gentlemen. Our gentlemen listeners there.
Yeah, gentlemen listeners and our lady listeners. Mainly for both of them. For ladies, go check out LingerieStyle.com. It's a great website that sells very beautiful lingerie for your body. And gentlemen, if you're looking to pick up that special gift for your wife, check out LingerieStyle.com again. You can find very beautiful articles of clothing for your special lady. So definitely go and check it out.
All right. Now that the bills are paid, guess what's around the corner, guys? Football action. Can you feel it? I mean, I can feel the fall crisp air, even though we're in the middle of summer right now. We're baking. But before you know it, we'll be all in front of our TV set Sunday afternoon.
Yep.
You know, rooting hard. Some of us wearing our favorite jerseys. Jesus. And of course, hoping our team takes the ultimate prize. But today, we're going to get into some predictions here, divisional predictions. And today's segment is going to be the AFC East and the AFC West. So I'm going to go ahead and start with the AFC East, since we're on the East Coast. And go ahead and start off with Jesus. And see who his predictions are.
Yeah, you always have me go first, John. We're going to have to fight. John, you always got me going first. I'm going to have to fight one day.
I'm
going to take it out on you pretty soon. But it's all good. It's all good. This is simple, easy, quick, all right? The worst team in that division, hands down, rookie quarterback. Kevin Cobb already having trouble. I'm hearing in training camp throwing interceptions. The worst team in that division, hands down, the Buffalo Bills. Okay? Gone. Number two. Well, actually, number three, if you want to really think about it from that point of view, the other worst team in that division has to go to the New York Football Jets, okay? They don't even know who their quarterback is. Mark Sanchez right now, he's not having a bad training camp, but he's getting outperformed by Geno Smith, yet Rex Ryan is still refusing to commit to Geno Smith. Then you have the GM of the team saying that it's going to be a collective decision on who starts week one for the Jets when it's supposed to be the head coach's decision. That whole team is a mess.
Yes.
Their receiver, Santonio Holmes, is saying he's not sure when he's coming back. He's not even sure if he's going to play this season. they only have really... And then Chris Ivory, who they just signed, is having hamstring issues. You add on top of that, their two best offensive players on the team is a center and a tackle. there goes your answer. That's why they're going to be where they're at. Then it comes down to Miami and Buffalo. And
Miami,
here we
New
go.
England.
Miami. I'm sorry, Miami and New England.
Uh-huh.
And what you're going to have right now is... Jesus is going to go and jump off a cliff again. Oh. Yes, that's right. He's going to do it. Okay. The New England Patriots are going to finish second in the division because all the targets that Brady lost, I don't believe in the New England defense. Wow. I do believe in Tom Terrific. I think Tom Terrific maybe gets his team into the wild card playoffs. But my surprise team in that division is the Miami Dolphins. I think Tannehill takes a step up this year. I love the defense. Everybody loves the defense. The running game scares me a little bit, but let's see what they could do with Hillman and I believe is Daniel Thomas. Okay, and the offensive line is solid. They're a solid offensive line. They lost Jake Long, but overall, that's a solid offensive line. So, yes, I do have Miami surprising everybody and barely winning that division.
You know what, folks? He's gonna go draft Tannehill in his fantasy league.
Absolutely not.
Oh, well, apparently they're going to be number one in the division. All right.
Steve's over there looking like the voice of reason.
Go ahead, Steve.
I am the voice of reason, people. And let me educate everybody out there because clearly Jesus is a little off today. All right. Okay. Number four. He just said it. You have to put the New York Jets at number four.
Oh.
They can't manage from the top. They don't know which quarterback to stop. You just said their two best players on the offensive line, okay?
That's true.
So how are they going to be number three, all right? So you have to put them fourth. Third, you have to put Buffalo Bills, all right? Buffalo Bills, they're not there. Kevin Cobb is a better quarterback than the other two quarterbacks that we just listed in Geno Smith and Mark Sanchez.
He can't stay on the field.
So obviously Buffalo has to be number three, all right?
All right.
Now, number two is going to go to the Miami Dolphins. However, I agree with you. They're going to get better. They're not going to win the division, though. All right? Let's be realistic.
I'm being realistic. All right? Look ahead.
Let's be realistic.
Dad, I'm being realistic.
They're going to be better. All right? Last year, they were 7-9. I do see them being over 500.
Yes.
But they're going to be second in that division. All right?
That's not being realistic.
Number one.
Look ahead.
No, that is realistic.
Go ahead.
And number one, of course, you have to go with Tom Terrific. Okay? 8, 9, 10. How many straight divisions have they won? I think it's 8 years straight going.
Continue.
All right. You have to put them in there at number one. You have Tom Terrific, all right?
Uh-huh.
Their defense, they've kept. Now, mind you, they've kept everybody on their roster, I believe, except for one position on defense that they're, bringing back. They're going to have to start picking it up on defense, all right? Vince Wilfork is still there. He's a captain. I'm telling you, number one. There it is. Go ahead, John. I'm done.
No! You don't get off the hook that easily. Let me recap,
and then you could go ahead and have your rebuttal.
Yeah,
so just to recap, guys. Jesus, he has the Dolphins at the top of the division, New England at number two, the Jets finishing third, and Buffalo being in the basement at fourth. Steve has the Patriots continuing their dominance in the AFC East. The Dolphins second, Buffalo third, and the Jets unknown the tail on the rotor at fourth. So, go ahead, Hayden. You had something for Mr. Steve there.
Okay, when was the last time you said that the Patriots didn't win a division? How many years you said?
It's been, the year that Tom Brady went down was the last time.
Yeah, you just said something like 8 years or something like that.
All right, but collectively, correct yourself,
my friend. Correct yourself. Don't make excuses now. Right? Don't make excuses now, okay?
Because they have it now.
Back to what we were saying. You have the nerve to come over here and tell me that Kevin Cobb is a better quarterback than Mark Sanchez and Geno Smith. Last I checked, Mark Sanchez has been farther in the playoffs than Kevin Cobb, who hasn't even sniffed the playoffs.
Yeah, because why?
Good. Good. Why?
Because of their defense. Okay.
Because of the defense.
I give you, they have a good defense.
They absolutely have a good defense. Okay. But Kevin Cobb can't even stay on the field. He can't even stay on the field.
Hey, he's a better quarterback. When they're playing,
okay,
who's a better quarterback?
You tell me the
when
last
they
time
they aren't playing.
Okay, exactly. You tell me the last time when your boy Kevin Cobb finished the full season. Tell me.
He hasn't.
Exactly. So then how are you going to say when they're playing? If the guy hasn't even proven he can do it.
Well, hey, when they're playing game to game,
he's
a better quarterback.
Yo, when I become a millionaire, I'll have jets and everything flying all over the world. But I'm not.
Guys, this is what we are.
All right?
A specific question in relation to the Jets. Rex Ryan has reverted to his defensive roots. He says going back to defense purely. Now, do you think this will have a positive effect on someone like Mark Sanchez, who let's face it, his last couple of years have been less than stellar?
That's easy. When your coach comes out openly and says, I'm not worried about my offense, I'm just going to go ahead and coach the defense and let someone else handle that, and that's your coach, you have a problem.
Yeah.
You have a major problem. Because at the end of the day, a head coach's job is supposed to be involved in both sides, and he's not. All he's worried about is defense, and he's leaving, I believe, Morningwig, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. who's the offensive coordinator over there, to pretty much make the decisions over there. That's a problem. You're the head coach of the team. You're not the defensive coordinator. Come on, let's go. Like, this is why the Jets are going to finish second to last. Only reason why they're not finished last is because the Buffalo Bills and Kevin Cobb's going to get injured. E.J. Manuel is not ready to be a starting quarterback at the moment. If it wasn't for that, I would agree with Steve. But the fact is, I don't believe in Kevin Cobb. And E.J. Manuel, he's just not ready. He's not there yet. He's about 3 years away
Steve, in the NFL. We all know the Aaron Hernandez deal. You knew I was going to get into it, guys. But I'm going to graze it a little bit. I'm not going deep into it this time. Now, Steve.
Okay.
How much of a factor do you think that whole trial and that whole situation is going to have on New England? We all know New England's a focused team, but do you think they can even keep their head on straight for the first couple of weeks?
According to his standings, apparently none whatsoever. Yeah, okay.
They're not going to have any faults. There's nothing. This team is dedicated. They're focused. It starts from the very top with the owner and Robert Kraft. And goes all the way down to Belichick and how they hold their players accountable. We didn't even know about Hernandez when he came through, okay? He was number two behind Gronk. He blew up. Why? Because Tom Brady. Anybody that they plug in, there are certain people that just make other people better, all right? Tom Brady is that guy. Peyton Manning is that guy. Drew Brees is that guy. It doesn't matter who you plug into that offensive system. They're going to step up because they have to. There's no other choice. If you don't, you're gone. They're going to put somebody else in. So it's not gonna affect them at all.
He didn't do too good of a job making Chad Ochocinco better. That's last time I checked. But
Chad Ochocinco didn't start. So go ahead, John.
And Brandon Lloyd, too. Yeah. But go ahead.
He had two other tight ends to throw to. But yeah, go ahead, guys. John.
So let us know what you think. You know, that's the AFC East. And we're going to go ahead and dive into the AFC West. The AFC West has been kind of a toss-up in the recent years. It looks like Denver, with Peyton Manning, has assumed control over that division. Now, I'm going to start with Steve. I'm going to ask for your divisional standings and why you see your teams lining up the way that they do.
All right, here it goes. I will give you my teams. At number four, I have the Oakland Raiders. I mean, let's face it, they're not there yet. They're a team that only has Darren McFadden as their best player on offense. Defensively, you know, you just don't know where they're at. So I believe they're going to be at the very bottom at the list. At number three, here's the shocker, the San Diego Chargers. Yes, San Diego Chargers because... Again, yeah, Phillip Rivers is still there. He's a great quarterback. But again, last year showed a lot of signs that concerned people, and I think that's going to continue. They do have that outside receiver who is, up and coming.
Alexander,
yes.
You're welcome.
But other than that, other than that, I mean, there's really not much there for them to go. I mean, they did have a solid draft, but again, this is a team that's probably 2 years away from getting better. And number two, I'm sorry, I know a lot of people are going to call me crazy, but it's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs are going to be a solid team, and really it's a lot to do with the coaching. A lot of people last year picked Kansas City to win the division last year with a hurt Peyton Manning, all right? So the fact that most of those players are still there, they have a manageable quarterback who is better than, you know, the quarterbacks before in Alex Smith. So they're going to be number two. And I'm sorry, but number one is going to be Denver. And that, you know, Peyton Manning, he's on top of his game. He now gets Wes Welker added to his receiving core. You know, even though Von Miller is on that suspension, which may be lifted, you know, and that's pending and whatnot, they still have a solid defense. So that's how I see the West panning out.
Why are you apologizing for having Denver number one? They don't need to apologize for that. That's obvious. Don't apologize to anybody for that. That's the obvious choice.
It is.
And that's, I'm going to apologize to my fans right now because I have to agree with Steve, which makes me sick to my stomach.
If I had a computer equivalent to a DVR right now, I would freeze it and then go right back. Repeat that again, Jesus. Repeat that.
I agree with Steve's standings. Man. It makes me sick to my stomach.
I love
Now, of course, Oakland is going to finish dead last. That's a team that's rebuilding. They're struggling. Matt Flynn is your starting quarterback. Don't be surprised if midseason you see Terrell Pryor become the starting quarterback for that team. Okay, yes, I was a toss-up. I was going back and forth between San Diego and Kansas City, but I have to go. San Diego's worse than Kansas City right now. It's just Phillip Rivers is not that quarterback that he once was. The defense is not what they once were. The offense is just not as good as they once were. You can't trust the running game. There's really nothing there. So, yes, they're going to finish third. Kansas City is my surprise team. I think they're going to be pretty good this year. Not a playoff team, but they will be pretty good this year. I love Alex Smith. He doesn't turn the ball over. Jamal Charles, who doesn't love Jamal Charles? The thing that scares me is the Dwayne Bowe injury. He did get carted off the field the other day. So, like, we got to find out how serious that is, that injury. But just overall, yes, Kansas City, and their defense is pretty darn good also. So Kansas City finishes third. And, of course, Peyton Manning, all he does is win divisions. The best regular season quarterback of all time. Probably one of the worst playoff quarterbacks of all time. But the best regular season of all time. He's going to get it. He's probably going to end up with the number one seed coming out of going into the playoffs this year. That just it, that's who he is. Now, guys, he's dominating the regular season.
You guys just mentioned Peyton Manning. That's one key component as far as Denver's success and hopefully, you know, their march to the championship. Now, hypothetically speaking, playing devil's advocate here, he goes down for a few weeks. Does that change the dynamic of the division? Does Kansas City now become the front runner? The division?
When does he go down?
Let's say week six.
Yes. Kansas City wins that division if that happens. If he's gone for any long amount of time, Kansas City wins that division. Absolutely no doubt about it, because that offense is so predicated on Peyton Manning, you know, checking at the line, checking on defenses. I mean, they have great receivers, but you saw when they had Kyle Orton, it didn't make a difference how great that defense was and how good the receivers are. So, yes, I think if that happens and it's for a long period of time, which I doubt, Kansas City would win the division. Yeah, Steve, you can answer him too.
It's very close. It's very close, John. I mean, because, you know, the team is such a good team even without Peyton Manning. So, I mean, you can legitimately make an argument that when they would squeak by at like a 8-8 or a 9-7 record if that were to happen. But I'm going to have to unfortunately agree with my counterpart here and say that Kansas City, you know, is going to make it because Andy Reid is a great coach.
Yes.
And Kansas City is a really good team. The reason why Kansas City was so horrible is Romeo Crennel cannot be a head coach. He's a defensive coordinator, and that's it. I'm sorry.
That's the truth.
So, you know, I have to give it to Kansas City, but by a very, very slight.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Andy Reid, remember, people, he doesn't need receivers to win. No. He once made the playoffs with the Eagles with Reggie Brown, I believe, as his top receiver. So he doesn't need receivers
and
to dominate.
So, just to recap, guys, you really – if you caught this from the beginning, if all our guys listening out there on the website, if you caught this from the beginning, from the beginning of the AFC West segment here, you actually caught Jesus and Steve harmoniously agreeing. Let's recap.
Stop.
We're brothers.
Keep it up. That's gonna be the next theme song. But just to recap, Jesus and Steve both had Denver on top of the division. Kansas City coming in second, San Diego at third, and Oakland finishing last there. But, hey, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Facebook, let us know what your thoughts are via either the AFC East or either the AFC West. Like both the guys said, we're going to be having these segments profiling each division as the season draws closer. So definitely hit us up, Facebook, Twitter. Have a live debate, because that's what we're here for. All right. So right now we're going to go ahead and get into these bills. You know, this book, you know, Jesus and I, Steve and I, we discussed this book. It's exactly, our discussions are exactly opposite of what the AFC West segment was. We disagree, we clash, we you know, sometimes we may have to go in the car and go to the trunk and get the boxing gloves a little bit. But tell them about this book, Jesus.
Jeff Delarosa is keeping it real always. It's on Amazon.com. You got to get the hardcover. When you go and you read this book, just make sure you're not buying anything sharp. You're not buying people that may get you even more upset, because this brings out the anger in you. but it's worth the read. Go check it out. Go get the hardcover on Amazon.com. Keeping It Real Always by Jeff De La Rosa.
And check out My Family Story by Loreen and Alice. If you guys can see the cover, I know you guys are out there in audio land, but if you guys can see the cover, you can go to Amazon.com and check it out. It's a banker passing documents to a customer. Probably, you know, just, you know, patent documents that is just filled out and handing back to the bank again and going through the whole procedure. You may be familiar with that. Miss Alice is chronicling her her account, which is battling with the bank, and you know, just in a bit to save her home. So check it out. It's available on Amazon.com, Kindle or hardcover. And Steve, we got a special message out there for our ladies and our gentlemen listeners out there.
Absolutely. Go, ladies, gentlemen, go check out LingerieStyle.com. Ladies, it's a very great, wonderful website that allows you to shop beautiful lingerie. And fellas, if you're looking to get something very nice for your wife, you know, a special occasion, anniversary, birthday, check out LingerieStyle.com. Again, a lot of beautiful things there that you can check out purchase, and will be shipped to you very quickly. So again, LingerieStyle.com.
Make every night Valentine's Day. But yeah, so right now, we're going to get into training camp injuries. Of course, we just highlighted the divisions and who are going to be the key players for certain team successes. Now, Jesus, you're our resident, our football Steve as well. I'm going to start with Steve first. Who are the injuries that are really standing out for you and could impact the team later on down the road here as we get close?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the obvious one, and it's Percy Harvin out in Seattle. This kid, I think, and a lot of people too, believed he was going to do really great in that system. The fact that he, you know, tweaked that hip so hard, and he went to New York, got a second opinion, and they told him, just like the last doctor, that you still need surgery. It's very unfortunate. You know, he's going to be out 3 to 4 months, they're saying, is the time frame. So that's a huge hit, considering he was going to be the complement to, you know, Sidney Rice, who Sidney Rice is also injured. So it kind of makes you worried as a Seattle fan how you're going to throw the ball down the field, because, you know, you have two injuries, one that's really detrimental to Percy Harvin, and Rice, we still don't know. So, you know, that's where I say is the biggest news as far as the injuries.
I'm going to go up to, I have a problem these days with sports, because they talk about how the athletes these days, they're so much better, so much faster, so much in better shape. But man, it just seems like every year during training camp, more and more guys seem to go down.
Yeah.
There's got to be something wrong. I don't know if it's the stretching, if it's all the off-season programming. I don't know what it is, but there's something that's not helping these players. Something is hurting these guys, whether we're pampering them too much, whether it's, you know, they're not that much contact anymore like there once was. I don't know, but there's something wrong. Now, Steve says it's Percy Harvin being out for the year is the most detrimental to all the teams. I understand where he's coming from, because Percy Harvin is the most talented of all the guys that has gone down. However, I'm going to go a little bit different. I'm not saying that he's necessarily wrong, but I do think the Seahawks still make the playoffs without Percy. Probably by the time he gets back, they, you know, they'll be in their playoff run. So I think that, you know, they may be able to make it. But Jeremy Macklin is the one that I think hurts the most. Because here you have a new coach, a new system, and Jeremy Macklin, if I'm not mistaken, led the team in receiving last year. He was their top guy. And they didn't make the playoffs last year. So you take that top guy away, and they're probably not going to make the playoffs again this year. McCoy is going to have to do triple the work, and I don't think he's capable of taking that kind of a load. DeSean Jackson, I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry, you Philadelphia Eagle fans, but he's not a number one receiver. He never was. He never will be. He is a deep threat, a guy who's exciting to watch, but he's nothing special. Okay? The facts are facts. He'll get you good with punt returns. He'll get you some good numbers, but he's going to be the type of guy that'll get you 3 catches, 100 yards, or he's going to get you 1 catch and 10 yards, and that's it. There's no in-between with him. So he can't carry a team. But there's something wrong that the NFL has to figure out. What is going on that all of these guys are getting injured like this? I don't know what it is. I'm not going to pretend to know what it is, but it needs to get fixed, and it needs to get fixed immediately.
We heard earlier this week in the Jets camp that Geno Smith is rumored that he was actually not in the greatest football shape coming into camp. So my question is, could it be a culture of players just taking it easy and not continuing with their pre-camp conditioning, and when they come to camp and they all of a sudden doing these hard workouts and these, you know, different strenuous activities in camp, that they're more prone to injury? Could it be that?
Okay, I got this, you know, and this is, you know, John, you've heard it, everybody else has heard it, but Brian Baldinger, I'm sorry, no disrespect, but you need to just shut up, okay? Because he's the one that came out and made this statement about Geno Smith being out of shape. And the guy, he's not even at Jet Camp. So, again, he needs to just shut up, because the New York media, as you guys all know, is as hard as anybody else, as any of the media. I'm not a Jet fan, but the New York media themselves is saying that is 100% not accurate. Geno Smith is running up and down the field. He's in great shape. He's looking good. Rex Ryan has also said Geno Smith is in great shape. He's looking good. Brian Baldinger, he looks at one thing on tape. He looks at one play where the guy looks like he's breathing heavy, and he makes it into a big show. Probably because he's upset because the Jets won't hire him to a front office position or something. But at the end of the day, that's just that's somebody in the media, a former player, who is one of those, like I used to call Steve and Jeff and stuff like that, one of those cranky old men, oh, back in my time, and those type of things. That's really all it is. But Geno Smith is in perfectly fine shape, okay? It was one play. They were doing a hurry-up. He's still learning the system. But let me tell you something. If I was in the shape that Geno Smith is in, I'd be happy.
All right, guys. Well, let us know what you think. You heard Jesus' take. Hey, Brian Baldinger, you're always welcome on the show. Just saying, hint, hint. But
let me get some security first. Hold up.
But let us know. We're definitely bringing up more training camp news and more training camp information. And hit us up. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know what specific topic about training camp that you would like us to profile.
All right, John, I'm going to flip it right now. I got some questions for you. You are our king when it comes to soccer.
Yes, sir.
All right, I got some questions that I need answered, me, myself, okay? So I'm going to start off with, first of all, my favorite team, Chelsea. When is Wayne Rooney coming to Chelsea, or is he even coming at all? Tell me some good news.
Well, here's the thing. Man United's kind of playing hardball with Rooney. A few weeks ago, David Moyes made a comment to Wayne Rooney, about Wayne Rooney, saying that he would play second fiddle to Robin Van Persie, which is Manchester United's second striker. That didn't go down well with him. He's still looking to get out of Old Trafford. However, United is believed to be looking for the right price. They maintain publicly that they don't want to sell him, but deep down inside and behind the backroom walls, they do want to sell him. They're just looking for Chelsea to meet their volition. I think there's a bit of hesitancy on their part to sell him to another English club. Of course, Chelsea, if they gain Rooney, that would put them as one of the favorites to win the title. And you don't want Wayne Rooney coming back to bite you, scoring a goal at Old Trafford, 82nd minute, he comes back, wins a Premier League title for Chelsea. So I think there's a big...
Sounds good to me.
there's a big hesitancy for them. But ultimately, I do see his future in West London. I think that Chelsea will up the bid. They made a £40 million bid prior. I think they up it to £45 million, and you know, they'll haggle with United. I think eventually they'll get their man.
Okay, we got about a minute left. I want to get two more questions in there. Suarez, what is happening? Is he going to Arsenal? Is he not? I know you're an Arsenal fan deep down inside. So tell us, what is going to happen? Is he going to end up?
Oh man, tough time for us Arsenal supporters, isn't it? Liverpool's maintaining the stance that they don't want to sell Suarez. They're holding out for a £55 million bid. Now, Arsenal has previously bid £40 million, and there's quite a bit of pressure on Arsenal, considering that they have lost out on Gonzalo Higuain, which he was rumored to be all but on his way to London, and he ends up going to Napoli, the Serie A club. Now, I believe... And sources have said that Suarez does want to go to North London. However, Liverpool, even though they said they don't want to sell, if Arsenal meets his $55 million asking price, I think they will part with Suarez. He's just a headache. He's a headache. He's dragged their club image through the mud in recent years. He's an excellent player, gets you 30 goals a season, but he's a headache that I think if if Liverpool comes across a bid that's to their liking, they'll have no hesitation telling them to go ahead and go negotiate terms with Arsenal.
Okay. I did have, you know, two more questions, but I have to just bring it down to one because we're running out of time. We got 30 seconds on this one. Gareth Bale, is he worth 100 plus mil? What is going on? That's a lot of money to be offered to
one him. Word, no. 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 No, no, no. And lastly, no. Listen, Gareth Bale is an excellent player. We saw what he did in the Champions League a few years ago. The man is amazing. He can basically play any position on the football pitch. But keep in mind, guys, Real Madrid paid Manchester United 94 million euros for Cristiano Ronaldo. And without any disrespect to Gareth Bale, he's not Ronaldo. He's not Ronaldo. He's an excellent player. If I'm Gareth Bale, I would stay one more year with Tottenham. Develop yourself that much more. And then if you want to move to Real Madrid, you have more of a bargaining position. But he's not definitely not worth that money. No way.
Wow. All right, well, we got to pay these bills. We ran out of time. Keeping it real always, Jeff De La Rosa, Amazon.com. Go get the book. Go get the hardcover. John, let them know about the other
book. Of course,
My
Family Story, How the Bank Waged War on Us is available on Amazon.com. Kindle hardcover is Reen M. Alate, the author's account on her battle with the banks. Please check it out. Available at Amazon.com.
And also, check out LingerieStyle.com. It's a wonderful website filled with beautiful lingerie. Ladies, gentlemen, go check it out.
Guys, thank you for tuning in. John, let them know about our email address where they can get to us if they need to for promotions.
Definitely, definitely. It is fordendebate1@gmail.com. Hit us up if you're interested about getting your business out there and promoting it even further to a wider audience. Hit us up and we'll definitely get your name out there. We'll negotiate terms. Steve is our man on that. So please definitely hit us up and get your name out there. We welcome all takers here.
Keep the love coming. Twitter, Facebook. We appreciate the follows. We appreciate the debate. We got people even wanting to come on our show, write for us. Listen, we got to get through, you know, the big names out there. But you know what? We will get back to each and every one of you guys. We love you guys. Stay safe. Be safe.
Peace.